This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Let's get you caught up on everything happening in progress right now. The Philadelphia Phillies have a 2-0 lead over the New York Mets. Sunday night baseball from Philadelphia. It is the bottom of the second inning, and Philly having that 2-0 lead. They scored two in the bottom of the first. We have already cashed one bet in this game on David Peterson over 1.5 walks. The first two batters of the game walked. And now we are waiting to see if we can cash our next two bets, which are David Peterson to go under his outs recorded prop of 15.5, and the Phillies to win the first five. We did lay the half a run in the first five innings, so we'll keep you up to date with what's going on there. They are in the 94th minute at the World Cup, where Uruguay and Cape Verde are tied at 2. Cape Verde, one of the surprising teams here at this World Cup, about to pull off a second consecutive surprising result, and they'd be sitting here with 2 points in their group and with their eyes set on advancing to the round of 32, which would be just absolutely unbelievable. Let's head on out right now to the Progressive guest line and talk more about the World Cup. We are joined by Ani Sridhar from FantasyGuru.com. And I cannot believe what I'm seeing here, Ani, with Cape Verde. They get the draw against Spain in the opening match, but now heavy dogs once again against an Uruguay team who many expected fully to make it out of this group. If they complete this draw and they're sitting here with 2 points, are we starting to think about Cape Verde advancing past the group stage?
Yeah, I mean, with the new format this year, with now how many teams we got, you know, 48 and 32 teams are going to go through, which means the 8 best third place teams are going to make it out of the group here. And if with 2 points, that looks pretty good for Cape Verde here. And I mean, a lot of people had issues with, you know, so many teams getting in. Are people going to be able to compete at the highest level? And Cape Verde just proving everybody wrong, and they deserve to be here. They really do.
Do you like the expanded format? I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard some people say that it waters down the product and it gives some teams an easier path to get through. I mean, listen, we thought Spain was going to have the nice, easy path to get through, and obviously surprising results can happen. But what's your take on the expanded field?
Look, more the games, the merrier for me. I think this is the best tournament in the world, best sporting event in the world. And the more matches we get is more excitement and more wagers for us to place. The one thing I don't like is they did change the tiebreaker rule, where head-to-head now matters a lot more than goal differential in this first round. So we're going to see a lot of third games in this group stage not have any meaning, like the USA-Turkey game that's coming up later this week, because USA has already clinched the group and Turkey can advance past the group stage.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the one thing that you do have concern about, is that these games might not have any meaning when it comes to the third matches. But should this result stand and it is a 2-2 draw for Cape Verde and Uruguay there in the 97th minute, and we're seeing a lot of stoppage time because of match breaks, now they're calling it, Ani, not hydration breaks. It's match breaks now. We got to get those sponsors in, right? And then, yep, of course, with any goals that are scored and injuries. So we're getting plenty more stoppage time than we're used to. We have one more game coming up here this evening, about an hour from now. New Zealand takes on Egypt. Egypt on the three-way line, a minus 180 favorite. Both teams are coming off of a draw in their first match. What do you expect to see here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, every team in this group, they just refuse to win a game. We saw Belgium play earlier today against Iran, and that was another draw there. So one of these teams could have the first win in the group, which would put them in pretty good standing with 4 points at the top. I'm actually expecting both teams to score. You can get that at plus 105 at various books. New Zealand, we saw they have a pretty prolific attack, but they're very weak on the back line. And I also like the player props for one of their attackers, Elijah Just, who had 2 goals in their opening game. Kind of a shocker, but one shot on target for Elijah Just at plus 145 is pretty juicy here in this contest.
Mm. So what you're saying is bet the draw plus the plus 320, right? They want to win. And you know what? I thought about this before the tournament, and I'm actually mad at myself, Ani, because I didn't do what I thought, what I said was maybe the right strategy. And I'll be honest, I was actually wrong in my thought process. The result was actually right. But I said there was going to be a lot of draws, and it was for the wrong reasons. I thought that we would have, you know, the lesser teams playing it carefully, knowing that right. with the expanded field and the rules that a draw is good enough to get them through. And so why risk getting beat by a better team? Just play defense. Just don't be aggressive. But really, it was because of the top tier teams playing cautiously, not the bottom tier team. So I was wrong on the why, but the result is still the result. And I think that when you mentioned it, the fact that we've had draws throughout this entirety of this group, maybe it leads to New Zealand and Egypt not wanting to be aggressive, not wanting to take a chance and lose a game, thinking that if they just draw, let's go ahead and play a third game with 2 points under our belt.
Right. And I mean, if you look at the world rankings, Belgium is ahead of Iran by a lot. So in Egypt's thought process, they're still yet to play Iran. They've already gotten their draw against Belgium here. So I think New Zealand is going to be a little bit more aggressive in this contest today, knowing that they still have to play Belgium. If the Belgians can get it together, they should beat New Zealand convincingly, but we haven't seen that yet from that Belgian team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Ani Sridhar from FantasyGuru.com joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN as we talk some World Cup action, waiting to see if it is a final between Uruguay and Cape Verde. And it is. Congratulations. A 2-2 draw for Uruguay and Cape Verde. Another surprising result and another big-time cash if you bet the draw here at this World Cup. New Zealand and Egypt coming up here at the top of the hour. Let's talk about the games on schedule here for Monday. We begin with Argentina against Austria. I'm not going to say we're going to get another 3 goals here from Leo Messi, but Argentina minus 190 on the three-way line. Austria coming off of a win in their first match. What's the key here to this game, and how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I think Argentina come away with another victory here. You know, you kind of look at these top teams, especially a team that won the previous World Cup. We kind of see these teams come out slow out of the gate. We saw that with Spain against Cape Verde. They had that draw in their opening match after coming off the Euros victory 2 years ago. But Argentina just looks like they're a team that could go back to the finals. And I like them to win. I think the minus 190 is a little bit too heavy to be taking them. So I am actually going to pair their money line with the both teams to score in the Norway-Senegal game later on, and we get a nice plus 150 there if we parlay those two together.
Ooh, do you do that a lot as opposed to just picking like one aspect? You want to get a better price and you handicap the game accordingly that you think we're going to get both teams to score, or maybe it's a, you know, win to nil. Do you find yourself doing that a lot? Because, as you know, you're more of a soccer better than I am and than most people are. Do you do that a lot in your soccer betting where you'll parlay a result with a prop like a both teams to score?
Yep, I do that quite often. And sometimes I'll even do like Argentina money line and then pair it with a couple player props, like a shot on target or anytime assist, anytime goal. But in this case, I do like this both teams score in the Norway-Senegal game. So I think pairing those two together, and it's a way to have action on both contests here. So
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a way to certainly reduce your price and whatnot with some of these heavy favorites. Let's talk about France and Iraq. Kylian Mbappe was the favorite to win the Golden Boot. France, the favorite to win this tournament. Was a shaky start for France. Obviously, they looked a lot better as the game went on. How do you see this one playing out with France and Iraq? Obviously, France an overwhelming favorite. Do you look maybe at a team total? Do you look at any props in this match? What do you have here?
Yeah, you read my mind there, Scott. I like the France over 3.5 goals at plus 145. We saw in that second half, once that attack started to get going, they looked kind of unstoppable, really. And they just have such a deep, deep team of attacking players where even if they make 3 subs, the guys that come off the bench are like the starting attacking players at PSG, at Bayern Munich. So their foot is never going to come off the pedal in this World Cup. And I like Mbappe to score multiple goals here. I already sprinkled on him hat-trick at plus 850.
Oh, wow.
I think it's pretty juicy. I mean, he just saw Messi have a hat-trick. And he's going for the record, right? All-time leading goal scorer at the World Cup. Why not Mbappe hat-trick at plus 850?
You know, I was going to
ask. I like that prop a lot.
I was going to ask you if you think like we're going to get more goals here from Mbappe in the group stage against inferior opponents here. I know, listen, Messi had the hat-trick. Who knows if he's going to do that again or if he's going to get 1 or 2 goals again. But you can still get Mbappe at plus 330 to be the top goal scorer here at the World Cup. Is that a future that you would take a flyer on right now?
Yeah, I absolutely would, because France, like you said, is also favored to win the World Cup. So they're going to go further in this tournament. That's also something you have to look at when you're betting on someone to be the leading goal scorer. And the very important thing is Mbappe also takes the penalty kicks for France. And in a tournament where, you know, when you're playing like a team like Iraq who have a low block, they're going to sit a lot of guys back. The likelihood of a penalty kick in this game is pretty high. And you want someone like Mbappe taking those kicks, obviously, for France, but also wagering on a guy who's going to be on those set pieces.
Final thing, Ani, projecting forward Tuesday, Portugal plays their second match against Uzbekistan. Portugal, an overwhelming favorite. They're minus 500 on the three-way line. But this one fits the system that I was telling you about earlier, which is backing the teams that had the disappointing result. A lot of people would say that was one of the more disappointing results in the opening match for Portugal. There's so much drama going on with what Cristiano Ronaldo's role is with this team. Would you be interested in laying a handicap, like an either an Asian handicap or a team total with Portugal against Uzbekistan on Tuesday?
Yeah, I absolutely would. I think like taking them on the spread here, maybe even minus 2.5 to win this game by 3 goals is definitely in play. I don't even think it's a hot take anymore, but I think it's become the normal that Portugal has a Ronaldo problem.
Yeah.
I honestly think if he came off the bench, this team could win the entire World Cup. They were one of my picks before the tournament started, but after seeing Ronaldo just not really mesh with this insanely good midfield that Portugal has, I really can't back them to win the tournament anymore.
This makes no sense. Just come off the bench in the 75th minute and give 110, give 110% for the final 20 minutes of the game. That's the best version of you, and that's going to make Portugal the best team that we're going to see here, or the best version of Portugal here at this World Cup. Hey, Ani, great stuff, man. We're going to continue to read you up on fantasyguru.com. We appreciate your insight. Good luck with your bets.
Appreciate it, Scott. Thanks so much for having me on.
There he is. Check him out, fantasyguru.com, Ani Sridhar, who is their lead soccer writer. We got World Cup action coming up tonight and tomorrow. More Live Bet Sunday continues here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
That Kyle Schwarber is so hot right now. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Kyle Schwarber with a 3-run home run in the bottom of the second inning as the Phillies have taken a 5-0 lead over the New York Mets here on Sunday Night Baseball. Major FOMO for not just betting Schwarber to hit a home run, although his price was ridiculous. It was like plus 200 or lower after he hit 3 home runs yesterday, but he is swinging a hot bat right now. And maybe the recipe for the Philadelphia Phillies to not be a bottom four offense in all of Major League Baseball was simple. Schedule a series against the Mets. That's how you solve all your offensive problems. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the sports betting network. You guys can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. Great segment, last segment with Ani Sridhar from fantasyguru.com as we broke down the World Cup. As we have one more match still to come tonight, New Zealand against Egypt, about 45 minutes or so from now, where on the three-way line, Egypt minus 180, New Zealand plus 500, the draw plus 320, and we have seen nothing but draws in this group. I might be interested in the plus 320 draw. Here's where I'm actually more interested, though, and I think it's actually a pretty decent betting strategy. I'd have to figure out like how this actually, you know, plays out. At least in my mind, it's been working. But if you wait until, I know you're not going to get the same price that you would before the game. You're not going to get plus 320, but you can still get like plus 200. If you wait until midway through the second half, like wait until like the 70th minute or so. If we're still tied nil-nil in the 70th minute, live bet the draw. Because at that point, the teams might be gassed. Fatigue's going to be setting in, and also the realization that, hey, we've played to a draw so far. Let's just go out here and let's take it cautiously. We don't have to, you know, make too many advances. Let's protect the 1 point that we have in our back pocket right now, and we'll move on to the next game. And maybe that's the way to attack this one here tonight. If we see a nil-nil score midway through the second half, live bet the draw and see if that's something that can come through for us here. The Mets are on the board against Zach Wheeler. Carson Bange, speaking of hot, dude homered last night, homered tonight as well. The leadoff hitter for the New York Mets with a solo home run. It is a 5-1 lead for the Phillies with one out in the top of the third inning. So back-to-back nights with a home run for Carson Bange. Back-to-back nights with a home run here for Kyle Schwarber. Phillies lead is now 5-1 over the Mets in the top of the third inning. Your live line right now, at least up on DraftKings, the Phillies on the run line -4.5. The total is 11.5 in this game. Now, I liked the under coming in to this game. I did. I liked the under coming in. I'm wondering if it's time to fire in on a live under. My one pause would be, the Mets stink. And what if their pitching just gives up a monster performance to the Phillies bats like they did yesterday? And look at the games that we've seen here in this series. 6-4 in the first game of the series, where the Mets actually won that game 6-4. Juan Soto with two home runs in that one. And then last night's 15-3 rout, where the best pitcher for the Mets last night was actually a position player. That's right. It was, what's his face? Zach Short came in to pitch in the bottom of the eighth inning. He was the best pitcher for the Mets last night. But with, you know, live overs kept hitting because the Mets just kept throwing, you know, low-end relievers out there. Phillies, same thing. You know, Christopher Sanchez came out of the game, and it's like, you're not going to use, like, high-leverage relievers. Why would you? And you use that game as an opportunity to pitch guys that maybe haven't thrown in a couple of days. And so, you know, the Phillies threw Johan Duran in the ninth inning because he needed to pitch. He needed to pitch. Last time he pitched was on, you know, a week ago. He pitched on the 13th. And so last night was an opportunity for Duran to pitch. So he pitched. Maybe he pitches here tonight. Again, if the game gets close at some point. 5-1, though. Total of 11.5. And I kind of want to do the under just because I don't think the Mets are going to score. I don't think they're not going to score much against Zach Wheeler. They got the solo home run. That's probably it here. Maybe another run. But I don't know if I can trust the Mets to limit this Phillies offense the way that Philly's swinging right now. Now, this is crazy for me to say that I'm worried about a high total in a Phillies Mets game because I gave you the numbers and I'll give them to you again. Coming into tonight, the Mets are 29th out of 30th in WRC+, weighted runs created. The Phillies, 27th out of 30th in weighted runs created. These are two of the worst offenses in all of Major League Baseball. They actually flip-flopped because yesterday it was Phillies 29th and Mets 27th, and because the Phillies scored 15 runs yesterday, like obviously that changes things. And Juan Soto, listen, I bet the Phillies in the first five. This has nothing to do with my bet or anything. If I was Carlos Mendoza, the New York Mets manager, Juan Soto's getting benched right now. It's never going to happen because the managers have no authority in Major League Baseball anymore. The old school baseball guys, dying breed, few and far in between. The Mets are down 5-1. There's two outs in the bottom of the third inning, or top of the third inning. Juan Soto just hit a single and tried to stretch it to a double and got thrown out by a mile at second base to end the inning. Was Juan Soto the tying run? Was Juan Soto the winning run? Was Juan Soto relevant in this game to being on second base with Jacob, with Jared Young coming up behind them? You took your team out of the inning there because you selfishly wanted to stretch a single into a double. Now, there's a difference between what Bryce Harper did yesterday, which was a hustle play, stretching a single into a double that sparked a team, and maybe, hey, could Juan Soto spark a team? You're down 5-1. Base runners are at a premium. And when Bryce Harper did it, he was what? There was nobody out. He was leading off the inning. Or no, that might have been after the Schwarber. Was it after the Schwarber home run? Anyway, Juan Soto, you picked up a hit. You've already had Wheeler giving up a home run in this inning. You have a chance with the guy behind you, who's batting cleanup, by the way, for a reason. One swing of the bat, you make this a game. It becomes a 5-3 ball game. What are you doing running to second there? Listen, baseball has changed a lot. We know that. Players have all the power now. I'm telling you, old school baseball mind in me, you are sitting after that. That is a selfish, stupid, low baseball IQ play right there from Juan Soto. That was, I'm speechless. I really am. That is, wow. That's wow. But doesn't surprise me because Mets are going to Met. Mets just going to Met. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live. We're going to keep an eye on everything going on here in Philly. Like I said, I have the Phillies, so I don't care that Juan Soto got out. That's awesome. Like, we're in the bottom of the third inning. We have a 5-1 lead. And I love the Sunday Night Baseball camera now focusing in on Juan Soto. I can only imagine what they're talking about on the broadcast. But we have the Phillies minus a half a run in the first five innings. So we're hoping to cash that. We've already cashed the over on the walks for David Peterson. Now we just need to cash the under on his outs recorded. He's thrown 2 1/3 innings right now as he gets the first out in the third inning. 60 pitches here for David Peterson. So let's hope that he can get either roughed up some more or just the pitch count adds up and he gets knocked out of this game pretty soon and doesn't go into the sixth inning. Look, the sports calendar never stops. The Sharp Plays covers it all, and they've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented, logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. The kind of transparency is rare in this industry. When the Sharp Plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they find the value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared, sharpplays.com. You can start winning with them. Sharpplays.com. Once again, I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSIN Live. We're going to keep an eye on the Mets and the Phillies here, Sunday Night Baseball. If there is a live betting opportunity, that total that was 11.5 is now down to 10.5. So we might have missed the boat there on an under. But again, I don't trust the Mets pitching to limit the Phillies offense here tonight. And who knows, if Juan Soto doesn't try and stretch a double, maybe he comes around to score and the Mets actually have a bigger inning than just one run. So might have missed the boat there. Total now is actually back up to 11.5. So maybe we'll have to decide if we want to pull the trigger on a live bet. Plus, we have so much more to get into with the World Cup and the big trade in hockey. I'm Scott Satterberg here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN.
Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, VSiN's own NHL analyst, Jonathan Davis, will join us as we'll tie a bow on the NHL season. Obviously, congratulations to the Carolina Hurricanes for winning the Stanley Cup. But there was a big breaking news story earlier here today, and that was the massive trade going down between the Florida Panthers and the Ottawa Senators, uniting Brady Tkachuk with his brother Matthew Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk going from the Ottawa Senators to the Florida Panthers for quite the haul of draft picks. The draft is coming up here on Friday. The Panthers did have two first-round picks, but they will not be making those picks. It will be the number 9 pick by Florida. It now goes to Ottawa, as well as the number 25 selection in the first round coming up on Friday goes to Ottawa. A 2029 first round pick, top 10 protected, and a 2027 second round pick, all going back to Ottawa in exchange for their captain, Brady Tkachuk. uniting him with his brother, Matthew Tkachuk, on the Florida Panthers. Your updated odds to win the Stanley Cup up on DraftKings. Your favorite is the defending Stanley Cup champion in the Carolina Hurricanes. Your second favorite is the Colorado Avalanche, the last year's President's Trophy winners. And the Florida Panthers, now the third favorite at plus 850 ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights. So Hurricanes plus 750, Avalanche plus 800, and then the Florida Panthers plus 850. Those are your current odds up on DraftKings to win the Stanley Cup next year. We'll talk to JD about this trade, what it does for this team, what were some of maybe the underlying reasons behind it, because I think it's pretty naive to think that the whole U.S. winning the Olympics and the reception for Brady Tkachuk in the wake of that tournament, going back to Ottawa, even though, you know, he was their captain and led them to the playoffs. And I think it was a tough situation, I think, for him to deal with and for the organization to deal with. This was the best move, I think, even though he was under team control for a couple more years till 2028. This was a big move, and a move that I think Ottawa was making to think about the future. And it's a shame, because does him leaving have a massive effect on the team? They still have a lot of talented players, Tim Stützle and others. And I loved Ottawa going into the playoffs this year. I actually bet them in the first round and lost that bet. I thought that it was going to be an upset by the Ottawa Senators over the Carolina Hurricanes. Boy, I couldn't have been more wrong. And if you think about it, you looked at the Hurricane series, right? Didn't it feel like that Senators series, even though it was a 4-0 sweep, was actually the most difficult series that they won, with the exception of the Stanley Cup final, right? They sweep the Hurricanes. They beat the Canadiens 4-1, right? But against Ottawa, even though they swept them, that was a tough series against Ottawa, where it was a double overtime game in the second game, and then it was 2-1 in the third game. Even the 2-0 game was really 1-0, you know, throughout the whole game until a late goal. So that was a tough series. I thought Ottawa was live in that series. And if Ottawa would have won that double overtime game, like, who knows how that series plays out. I thought Ottawa was a sneaky team this year. Next year, I don't know. We'll talk with our very own NHL analyst, Jonathan Davis, coming up here in a few minutes about this big trade that went down. And we got a ways to go before the season gets underway here in 2026, September of 2026. Well, Major League Baseball going on right now. The Philadelphia Phillies with a 5-1 lead over the New York Mets in the top of the fourth inning. Sunday night baseball. We are sweating out a couple of plays here. We've already cashed one. We're looking to cash our other two plays, which are the Phillies to have a lead at the end of five innings. We have Phillies first five minus a half a run. And then we also have David Peterson of the New York Mets, their starting pitcher, to go under 15 and a half outs recorded. He has completed three innings. He's given up five runs on six hits, three strikeouts, two walks, the first two batters of the game. So we cashed our bet on the over 1.5 walks with the first two batters of the game. But he has thrown 67 pitches. Now, if you look at David Peterson's most recent outings, and again, he has kind of flip-flopped between being a starter and coming out of the bullpen for the Mets, as he's probably not long for this rotation, honestly. 54 pitches his last time out, 63 before that, 51 before that, 90, this is when he was starting, 90, 82, 82, 77, 69. So he might only have one more inning left in him. And especially after giving up five runs already here to the Phillies, the Mets might want to, you know, bottom of the fourth inning, if they can get through the bottom of the fourth inning without any runs. I don't think he actually comes out in the fifth inning, because the Mets might want to give themselves a chance to come back in this game. You don't need David Peterson facing this Phillies lineup for a third time through the lineup. And that's pretty much what he's going to have here coming up. Actually, if we look at this, the Phillies, where are they in the lineup right now? Let's see. It's coming up here. Did Hill make the last out? Yeah, this is, I don't even, does he even come out here for the fourth inning? Again, I'm not watching the game closely, so I don't know if anybody's been warming up in the bullpen and he's actually done after three innings, but I'd be shocked if he comes out for the fifth inning. He's only going to, if he's out here for the fourth inning, this is his last inning, we're going to cash this bet, I'm telling you. So that's the only sweat that we have going on here in this game right now. Here's your finals from earlier today. How about the Cincinnati Reds beating the Yankees 4-1 as they take 2 of 3 from the Yankees in the Bronx? Chase Burns picks up his 9th win of the season. Now 9-1 with a 2.0 ERA. Chase Burns having a tremendous season. The problem is, if you look at in any other year, you'd probably say that Chase Burns is a Cy Young candidate in the National League in any other year. But you look at the awards market right now in the National League. Right now, Jacob Mizrowski, -160 favorite to win the Cy Young. Christopher Sanchez, +280 as the second favorite. Paul Skeens is 12-1. Chris Sale, 20-1. Chase Burns, 25-1. I mean, without looking at the other players' stats, and obviously you can't do that, but if I just told you, hey, by the way, Chase Burns is 9-1. Chase Burns is 9-1 with a 2.00 ERA. He's 25-1 to win the Cy Young. You'd ask me, where do I get that bet? How much can you get me down? Can you call your friends and their friends and their friends and see if you can get me down some more on this bet? That's what you'd be asking me to do right now. But there are so many other pitchers in the National League that are having much better seasons, including the favorites, as I mentioned. The ERAs, Jacob Mizrowski, a 1.45 ERA. Christopher Sanchez, a 1.8 ERA. But this is the thing. When you look at the underlying metrics, it kind of skews the picture a little bit and tells you why guys like Mizrowski and Sanchez and even Chris Sale are higher, shorter favorites than a guy like Chase Burns, despite the 9-1, 2.00 ERA, because this is what writers look at now. It's not just your win-loss record with your ERA. Those are old-school accounting stats. It's your underlying metrics as well. Jacob Mizrowski, not only with a 1.45 ERA this season, he's got the lowest FIP in Major League Baseball, fielding independent pitching, of 1.66. Christopher Sanchez in the National League, that 1.8 ERA, a 2.27 FIP. If you looked at Chase Burns, who has a 2.0 ERA, he's got a 3.17 FIP. So his FIP is actually over a run higher than his ERA. Normally, that would show you that guy is a regression candidate, that he's getting a little bit lucky, that his numbers show you he's going to come back down to earth. As we always say, a player plays to the back of his baseball card. The other stat that I look at is on Fangraphs, they have what's called the Sierra score, which is basically like an ERA. It's called Skill Interactive ERA. And that's a true measure of what the pitcher controls. It takes out, you know, park factor. It takes out, like, everything, and it literally gives you all the things that the pitcher controls. Jacob Mizrowski, 2.20 ERA, Sierra. Christopher Sanchez, second, 2.71. Paul Skeens, third, 2.86. Cam Schlittler, fourth, 2.93. Drew Rasmussen, fifth, 2.99. Chase Burns is ninth, 3.29, though. That's a little bit of a better indicator of the future success of these pitchers, how good they have been. If you're looking for an edge in baseball betting, check out the VSiN Daily Diamond, sharp daily baseball betting insight all season long. Former MLB pitcher Jensen Lewis and Dave Ross break it all down, the lines, the totals, the props, the futures. Make sure you subscribe to the VSiN Daily Diamond wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, search VSiN for our full podcast lineup, everything from the NBA, college sports, horse racing, and more. VSiN is the Sports Betting Network. All right, David Peterson still in the game here for the New York Mets. We're going to see if this is, in fact, his final inning. He is facing Kyle Schwarber once again. Schwarber homered earlier in this game for the second consecutive night. Peterson right now at 77 pitches and 3 2/3 innings. I have a feeling we're pretty safe to hit this bet of under 15.5 outs recorded. Coming up next, VSiN's NHL analyst Jonathan Davis will join us as we break down the blockbuster trade that went down today in the NHL and how it affects the futures market looking at next season. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Sunday, Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Sunday night baseball in the top of the fifth inning. The Phillies still with that 5-1 lead over the New York Mets, one out in the top of the fifth. And we will see in as soon as we get two more outs, we will cash our first five bet. But more importantly, let's see if we cash our David Peterson prop bet of the under 15 and a half outs recorded. If, in fact, he does come out for the bottom of the fifth inning, he's at 79 pitches. Even if he does come out for the bottom of the fifth, it's going to be his final inning here. He's already given up 5 runs on 6 hits in 4 innings for the New York Mets. Again, 5-1 is your score. Phillies over the Mets. Your live line right now up on DraftKings. It is on the run line. Phillies minus 4.5. The live total is at 9.5, juiced at minus 123 to the over. Well, there was a blockbuster trade earlier today in the NHL, and it sent shockwaves throughout the league. And it definitely has affected the futures market, as the Florida Panthers have acquired Brady Tkachuk from the Ottawa Senators, uniting him with his brother Matthew Tkachuk. And now the Florida Panthers are your third favorite to win the Stanley Cup, behind the reigning champion Carolina Hurricanes and the President's Trophy winning Colorado Avalanche. Joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line is VSiN's own NHL analyst. He is Jonathan Davis. JD, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. When you found out about this trade, what was your initial reaction from both sides of it, from the Ottawa perspective and from the Florida perspective?
Well, first off, Scott, I thought I was dreaming. I had just woken up from a bit of a nap, and I'm like, what is going on here? You know, earlier in the day, the Florida Panthers made a deal with the Seattle Kraken where they sent one of their younger players and good player, Mackie Samuskevich, to Seattle for a draft pick. And I was like, someone said to me, what's going on? And I said, there's something going on that they gave up Samuskevich to get a draft pick. So I had a sense that this was something to clear space. I had no idea that it was going to be obviously for Brady Tkachuk. But you know, look, I mean, Florida is a wagon, and you know, and it's funny, because when I woke up this morning, I was looking at the odds and I see Florida at 11-1. I'm like, to win the cup. And I'm like, and plus 270 for the division. I'm like, I like those prices. And now it's 9-1 for the cup and 235 over at DraftKings to win the division. Like them both. For Ottawa, look, there's a lot of chatter about Brady Tkachuk, you know, pretty much since the Four Nations tournament and going into the offseason. So, you know, the Senators kept saying, we're not giving him up, we're not giving him up. But I guess, you know, you've got Brady who just, you know, maybe forced their hand a little and said he'd really like to go, and he gave him a couple of teams, and you know, going to play with his brother seems like a no-brainer. For Ottawa, you know, look, they've now got 3 picks in the first round. There's no way you keep all of them. That would just be, you know, I had one GM tell me, like, when the Bruins had 3 picks in the first round many years ago, it's the worst thing. You don't want to keep them all, because if they all hit, you're never going to be able to sign them. So, you know, some talk, could they be trying to package some of those first rounders to get Jason Robertson, a restricted free agent out of Dallas? We'll see where it goes. But, you know, for the Ottawa community, it's a big blow. For the NHL, I mean, Scott, this whole week has been the gift that has kept on giving with the wheeling and dealing that we've had leading up to the draft this coming Friday. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, Jason Robertson's a name that I've heard. I also heard Jordan Kyrou is a name that's being floated out there for Ottawa to bring in.
Yeah, I mean, but they've got to go a little more big game hunting than Jordan Kyrou. Okay. Like, Jason Robertson, you know, is that big game hunter. Jordan Kyrou, you know, I'd say Robertson, A, you know, and Kyrou definitely a B. Yeah. But a big difference between the two.
Number one overall pick is unbettable right now. But the number two pick is very interesting. The draft coming up here on Friday. Ivar Stenberg is a minus 135 favorite up on DraftKings to be the second overall pick. Chase Reed at minus 105 is also a second favorite. If you think Gavin McKenna somehow doesn't get drafted number one, he's plus 2,000 to go second overall. So there's something there. But do you have any insight on the second overall pick in this week's draft?
I mean, it's interesting because Stenberg was minus 115 earlier in the week and now minus 135. You know, I've been, you know, pounding the pavement, calling a lot of my friends who, you know, draft experts around the NHL. And I mean, look, in many sports, the draft starts at 2. We've seen this in the NBA, mm-hmm. in the NFL. And I think, you know, definitely the same here. Look, San Jose needs a defenseman. And they made a trade with Utah to get a defenseman, but that defenseman, Michael Kesslering, who they traded for, is a guy that is really more of a third pairing guy and a guy that can play, that can definitely play the power play. I was told that they were going to take a defenseman to begin with. Now the other thing was with San Jose, Scott, at number two, you know, they could still trade with a team like Calgary who really wants a center, and they could still get it. And Calgary's got the fifth pick. So it's going to be very interesting. Like I bet Caleb Malhotra, who is the son of
Manny Vancouver coach, yeah.
Manny Malhotra,
yeah,
at 60-1 to be the number two overall pick. Just a little small bet, because if Calgary is able to entice San Jose with the fifth pick for number two, I would think that they would take Caleb Malhotra. They definitely need a center. So it's going to be interesting. Stenberg is a great hockey player, 200-foot player. People compare him to Patrick Kane. If he was a center, he'd be the number one pick, is what I've been told. I just think that if you've got the chance to get an elite defenseman over a winger, defense and center are the two premium spots when it comes to, you know, building your team. So I still think the Sharks are going to land themselves a defenseman. It may not be a two, though, if they trade down.
That's interesting. You can get Malhotra minus 400 to be the third overall pick. There's definitely so many ways you can go here.
And Scott, don't sleep on him at at 7-1 for fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
He could fall depending upon what deals are made.
Are you buying, like I said, the number one overall pick's off the board, right? With Gavin McKenna, he's going to go to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I did read articles where people are talking about Stenberg, and there's some, you know, rumors out there. Is that just noise that we see? Like, the NHL draft's not as publicized as the NBA draft is, JD, or the NFL draft, we know. And in the NBA draft, we're going to see this coming up on Tuesday, right? We get these rumors that come the week of the draft, and it starts to, like, tweak things, and everyone's mocks start to get adjusted, and the betting markets flood. Are we buying any of these rumors? Like, I can't see Toronto going in any other direction. Why would they not go after McKenna at number one? I think he's got to be, like, 99% to go number one overall.
Well, okay. So just to go back, I mean, look, if Stenberg was a center, I was told he would definitely be number one. Like he is Patrick Kane. He can create offense from the wing position. I had one draft expert approach John Chyka, the Leafs GM, during the NHL Combine recently. And I don't remember exactly the context of the conversation, but my understanding was that basically said to Chyka, you don't have the stones not to take McKenna.
Exactly. Because
Stenberg is really good, and the Leafs also need a defenseman. I mean, Chase Reed is the premier defenseman out there. But look, Toronto does need a center. They want to try to appease Austin Matthews. Look, McKenna is probably better served not playing in the NHL next season, but that's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, especially if he goes to Toronto, he has to be, and they'll have to find ways to put him in advantageous spots. But yeah, look, I've had only one scout say, or one draft expert tell me, like, he does have Stenberg number one.
Yeah.
Most do have McKenna one.
Could you imagine, Chyka gets the job, and that was controversial, him getting the job to begin with, and then you have an opportunity to draft a Canadian-born player who played for Canada, World Juniors, all the accolades, great collegiate career at Penn State, but still, it's like, you're not going to draft him number one? Could you imagine the hatred that he would get if he doesn't take McKenna?
Well, look, he's already hired Jim Hiller as his coach, which, met with
Don't even get me started, JD. I'm still mad that he challenged that goal by Edmonton in game number three 2 years ago, because I had a nice position on LA to beat Edmonton in that series, and they're up 2-0. If he doesn't challenge that goal, they could win that game and go up 3-0. I'll still never forgive Jim Hiller for that. But JD, thank you for everything that you've done for us throughout the entire NHL season. Good luck with all your draft bets. And yes, I will be putting in a futures bet on the Florida Panthers to win the division and win the Stanley Cup this coming season.
One bet I will say to you, best bet, it's -110, but the guy's name is Alexander Command, under to be picked somewhere 1 through 15. So under 15.5 on DraftKings. That's the guy, that's my favorite bet right now.
Command under 15.5. He is our very own VSiN NHL analyst, Jonathan Davis. JD, appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
Check
See you at the beach.
Yes, definitely. I got to get to the beach soon, man. I'm having some beach FOMO right now. Check out JD on Twitter, of course, West Coast Hockey. You read all the stuff off on VSiN.com, SiriusXM, NHL Radio as well. Well, we've cashed some bets here on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll update you next here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.